So we're going to continue with the sugya of Efshel Sokto Asur, which is the sugya here on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. And we began that sugya last week, and there's still a lot to, there's still a lot to cover. Okay. Very good. Now let's just reiterate what we know. And that is that the Gemara assumes that if chaticha atzma nasis nevela, then efshel esokto osu. And the Gemara makes that link, that connection between the two, which means that the tipas cholov fell onto a chaticha, and it was not shishim in the chaticha against the tipas cholov. So now the tipas cholov becomes asura. Okay? Now, when we say the tipas chol becomes asura, we gave the example that is, let's say, a kezayis of cholov that fell onto 30 zaysim of meat, and they were cooked together. Now we have basav cholov, because the relationship between the one kezayis and the 30 kezayisim is what we call kedei nesinas ta. Now we take one of these pieces of meat, which let's say the piece of meat has 10 kezayisim, correct? And this piece of meat now falls into a second kedera. And if it gets cooked in the second kedera, now we want to know how much do we need in the second kedera against this piece of meat in order to be mevatled. Do we need one kezayis? Because that's the amount of cholov that you had in the first kedera, in the first cooking. Or do we need now, let's say, 60 times 10 kezayisim, because the piece of meat has the volume of 10 kezayisim. And that's where we apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela. What does that mean? That means it's not enough to get 60 in the second kedera against the one zayis of cholov, even though the kezayis of cholov is batel, But nevertheless, I need 60 against the entire piece of meat. And if the volume of piece of meat is 10 zaysim, I'm going to need 600 zaysim in the second kedera. Then the Gemara wants to know what happens if we do have shishim in the second kedera. And do we apply the principle of efshel l'sokto mutar or efshel l'sokto asur? Meaning when that piece of meat that had already absorbed a tam of cholov, a kezayis worth of cholov, is cooked in the second kedera. If we have shishim, do we assume now that the cholov that was balua, that was absorbed in this meat, now exits from the meat and is spread throughout the entire kedera in such a way that we could assume that everything in this kedera is mutter, and even this piece of meat itself, insofar as the bliya of cholov has been removed, goes back to its original state of being muteris. And that's the way the Mechaber paskins in Siman Tzadi Beis. Let me just read to you Siman Tzadi Beis. I don't think that you have Sif Dalid on your page. Okay, that was a little bit of a mistake, but I'll read it to you Baal Peh. He says, as far as Basav Cholov is concerned, he says, there's a halacha in Basav Cholov of Chaticha Naseis Nevela. Correct? Now, does this halacha of Chaticha Naseis Nevela apply to other Isurim, or is it limited to Basav Cholov? For example, instead of cholov, let's change the vocalization of vowels to chelev. So you cooked a piece of meat with chelev in it. That's called shar isur. Now there was no shishim in the meat against the chelev. Do I assume that now the entire piece of meat becomes nevela, becomes a cheftzad isura, not just the amount of chelev that was bolua, such that now if it falls into a second kedera, since chaticha nasis nevela, we're going to need shishim against the entire piece of meat? Or do we say no? That only applies to cholov with basar, meaning basar cholov. But if it's chelev with basar, then we do not apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela, and therefore you, in the second cooking, you only need shishim against the amount of chelev that was absorbed by the piece of meat in the first cooking. I don't need shishim against the entire piece of meat.
Even okay.
Wait. So that's what we're getting to in just a minute. So the Mechaber paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim is quoted in Tosfos on Daf Kuf, and he holds that Chanan, which is Chaticha Nas and Nevela, only applies to Basar B'chol. It doesn't apply to Shari Surin, which means that if you cooked a piece of meat with Chalev, that's Shari Surin, and it was not batel, means it was no same time, we'll call it 1 to 59. If this piece of meat now falls into a second kedera, and notice, Michael, that I said falls, you know, just to avoid the Vavat Lidisuchim. So it fell into a second kedera. I only need shishim against the volume of chalev and not against the entire piece of meat. Because the lovedness of it is that this piece of meat is carrying within it, it's a carrier, it's carrying within it a kezias of chalev. But the meat itself is really heter. I can't eat the meat because the tam of chalev is now spread, permeated throughout the piece of meat. But the flesh and blood of the meat, meaning the fiber of the meat, is not aser. The meat is basar kosher. What's aser is the chalev that's balua in the meat. And therefore, if I can get shishim against that kezayis chalev, then it's mutter, because Rabbeinu Ephraim insists, and the Rashba accepts that, and if the Mechaber accepts it, that Chaticha Nasis Nevela only applies to what Isur? Basar B'chol. But doesn't apply to any other Isur. So therefore in Chalev, all we need is Shishim against the Chalev. In the second Kedera, I only need Shishim against the amount of Chalev that was Nivla in the Chaticha by virtue of the first cooking. And that's what the Mechaber paskins here in Sadi Beisiv Dalid. He says, Lo Omru, Chaticha Atzmanasis Nevela Ela Bebasa Becholov. Aval Lo Beshari Surim Kigon, Kizayis Chelev, Shenivla Bechaticha. The Ein Bas Shishim Levatlo. I don't have Shishim against the entire Chaticha. I'm sorry. I don't have Shishim in the Chaticha against the Chelev. And therefore the Chaticha is Nesra. The Achakach, subsequently Bishla Imacheros, he cooks that piece of meat that has a kezayis worth of chelev, balua inside of it with other piece of meat. Ein tzarech el shishim keneged hakezayis chelev. I don't need shishim against the entire piece of meat. All I need is shishim against the chelev that's balua in this piece of meat, because ein chaticha nasis nevela b'shari sur. Okay, so now let's get the scenario. Okay, you want to write this down? There's 1, 2, and 3. And we'll call it time T1, T2, T3. Okay, at time T1, he cooks a kezayis chelev in a gigantic piece of meat, but unfortunately the piece of meat falls a little bit shy of being 60 kezayisim. We'll call it 59 kezayisim. Okay. Then at time T, so what happens now to the 59 kezayisim? Are you allowed to eat it or not?
No.
You're not allowed to eat that meat. This meat, this gigantic piece of meat, you know, it's a whole shoulder of meat, which is 59 kezayisim's worth, is also, I can't eat this meat, because it was cooked with a kezayis of chelev, and I don't have shishim against the kezayis. So far, so good. I mean, so bad. Right. Now, this giant piece of meat gets cooked with other meat. And what happens now is that the ratio between the other meat and this meat that became prohibited, that became asur in the first cooking, is a ratio of, let's say, 60 zaysim to the one zayis of chelev that fell into the first, but it's less than 60 against this gigantic piece of meat that was cooked with chelev. So if this gigantic piece of meat with a kezayis of chelev inside of it is 59 kezayisim, it's a massive shoulder of meat, now it gets cooked in a second kedera, comes along the Mechaber, and he's standing on the shoulders of the Rashba, who in turn is standing on the shoulders of Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he paskins that you don't need 60 times the meat, all you need is 60 times the chelev, which means that we do not apply the principle of chaticha nasis nevela to chelev, we only apply it to basar b'chol. Okay, now we get to time T3. what's the status of this piece of meat itself? Oh, so that's where the Mechaber says, the Oz, he says, if there's 60 against the Kezayis Chelev in the second cooking, afilu achaticha atzma chozeres lios muteres. The chaticha itself becomes muteres, that's called efshol esofto muter, because it means that the premise is that any chelev that was bolua inside this gigantic piece of meat was nispashet, was yotza achutza, and was equally distributed amongst all the meat in that kedera, such that even this piece of meat is no longer carrying in it a tam of chelev of a kezayis worth. It may be a tam of chelev of 1/60th of a kezayis, but whatever it is, the ratio is such that it doesn't give tam. It's not a significant tam. In effect, what I did was schita. I was able through the second cooking to squeeze the chelev out of this piece of meat, and now in time T3 it goes back to the status that it was before we started this whole procedure.
I just wonder, on what basis do these people say that Bosi Cholov is different to...
Oh, excellent question. Excellent question. Why does Rabbeinu Ephraim insist that Chaticha Nasis Nevela applies to Bas Mechalv and only to Bas Mechalv? Why not to Shari Surin? L'chora, he should have been consistent. If he's saying that once in the first cooking, the meat receiving the Isur has become a shtik nevela, it's completely Asur, and therefore we're going to need Shishim in the second Kedera against the entire piece of meat, he should apply that to Cholav and to Chelev to the same measure. He should be consistent about it. So the answer is because Basav HaCholav is very unique. Basav HaCholav is heter with heter, and the combination thereof creates a new entity called Basav HaCholav. So the Isur is not the Cholav, and the Isur is not the Basar. It's not the liquid or the tav of Cholav that's in the Basar. It's not the solid piece of meat. It's the combination thereof. The combination thereof creates a brand new Isur with its own shame. It's called the Chaticha d'Isura of Basav HaCholav. Therefore, Chaticha Nasas Nevela, the entire piece of meat is awesome. It's not that the meat is awesome because it's carrying the Bolua. It's carrying within it the Cholav. No. It's the Cholav plus the meat together that creates this new entity called Basav HaCholav, a new Chaticha d'Isura, and the entire piece of meat now is awesome. It's a shtik nevela. That's what's called chaticha nasa. Masha Enkin, in the case of a kosher piece of meat that received the tam of chelev, there the meat remains kosher. And what, I can't eat it because there's a tam of chelev in it. Now if it falls into the second kedera, all I need is bittul against the tam habolua. By the way, again, I don't want to go off on a tangent, but is there anything in the Torah that's parallel to Basav HaCholav, where you take two things, each of which is heter, and the combination thereof creates Isur? Exactly, Kelayah. Kelayah Begadim. And it's fascinating to me that in Kelayah Begadim, we have a concept of Chidush. Chidush means that Kelayah Begadim, because it's really heter and heter, the tzemer and the pishtin each respectively is mutter, and together the combination creates Isur, is such a radical chiddush that the Gemara calls it a chiddush, which means that we cannot derive any conclusions from Kelayim to other cases and make analogies and equations because of chiddush. Comes along Rava, and you may remember about a week ago we saw Rava, and he says that Basav HaCholav is also a chiddush. To the same extent that you apply and you describe Kelayim and Begadim as Chidush, you should apply the same yardstick to Basav HaCholav. Because what's unique about Kelayim? It's Heter and Heter. The Tzemer itself is Mutter. The Pishtin itself is Mutter. You combine it and you get, poof, a new Isur. Same thing applies to Basav HaCholav. The Basar itself is Mutter. The Cholav itself is Mutter. Heter and Heter together creates a new Isur. That's called a Chidush. And therefore, if you remember our discussion about Tam Ki Ikar, which is a very fundamental principle in Yoredeya. It's probably the most fundamental principle in Yoredeya, is Tam Ki Ikar. Rava says you cannot use Basa V'Cholov as the Bamema Tzinu, as the prototype from which we're going to derive the conclusion that Tam Ki Ikar Doraisa. Why? Because a Chidush. Because Basa V'Cholov is a Chidush. And when it's a Chidush, when it undermines the rules that normally we would assume regulate the halacha, then you cannot use it as a binyan av. There's no bamei matzinu, an analogy to something that's a chidush. Okay, that was just a quick review of what we've done in the past. Abaye is not cholik on anybody. Abaye is cholik only on the principle of tam ki ikar as it's derived from basa v'chol. And whereas Rava says we cannot use Basa B'Cholov to derive Tam Ki Ikar, Abai says we can.
So he would say the situation for Chaylev would be asking.
Oh, you mean to say because if he's not operating with Chidush, then the explanation of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Just 1 second. Abai is not operating with Chidush. No, Abaye objects to Chidush for another reason. And that is, Abaye thinks that since Kelayim has already broken new ground to establish that you can take two heterim and when you combine them create Isur, that we've already seen in Kelayim, therefore there's no longer a concept of Chidush. Meaning, Abaye is also right now agreeing with Rava that fundamentally Basa V'Cholov is heter v'heter, and the combination creates an Isur, and therefore Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Abaye can also embrace the principle of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. The only thing is, Abaye holds, I can still derive conclusions by analogy to Basa V'Cholov for other areas, based on the fact that we already have Kelayim as a precedent that Heter v'Heter combines to create Isur. So therefore Basa V'Cholov is no longer a Chiddush, and now it can become a paradigm. Oh, I see what you're saying, Zev. Oh, if Basa V'Cholov can become a paradigm and we can derive Tam Ki Ikar, so why can't we derive Chaticha Nasis Nevela to Shari Surim from Basa V'Cholov? Oh, that's a good question. Oh, I'm sorry, it took me a little while to follow your logic. I had to integrate it, you know. So you're saying that if Chaticha Nasis Nevela here. Ah, no, Punkfaken. Why is Chaticha Nasis Nevela? That's because it's Heter v'Heter. But in the case of Heter v'Isur, there I don't apply Chaticha Nasis Nevela because the Heter itself remains Heter. The Isur itself remains Isur. The Tarovus, the mixture thereof, is what's going to make me a problem, you know, because create a barrier that doesn't allow me to eat and to enjoy the benefit of the heter. But the heter really is heter. So therefore, I don't say Chaticha Nasis Nevela.
So Abaye would say that even Basa V'Cholov, you don't have the situation
of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. No. What I'm saying is that both Abaye and Verova embrace the Chaticha Nasis Nevela and Basa V'Cholov. Why? Because they both agree that it's heter v'heter that creates together in the combination thereof an Isur. The question is whether that's a Chidush and now Basa V'Cholov can teach me, if you hold it's not a chidush, can teach me dinim in general, or no, Basa V'Cholov is a chidush and I have to limit all those dinim to Basa V'Cholov. That's going to be the machlokus between Abaye and Rava. But as far as Chaticha Nasis Nevela, everyone, even Abaye, is going to have to agree that that's a unique halacha in Basa V'Cholov because of the fact that Basa V'Cholov is heter v'heter. And the combination creates Isur. That's called Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Okay. Now, Rabosai, we get to Efshel Isochta. I cooked meat, again, let's review our scenarios, with Chelev. There was no Shishim, and therefore the meat becomes Asur. But it's Asur B'Toras, carrying the blia. It's not Chaticha Nasis Nevela. If I could only get the blia out, if I can extract the chalev from this piece, from the walls of the piece of meat, then enochinami, the meat goes back to become mutter. That's exactly what the Mechaber says here in Tzadi Beisif Dalet, that since I took this piece of meat that has chalev in it, and I cooked it in the second tarovas, and the shishim in the second tarovas against the chalev, against the kezayis chalev, then the premise is that that kezayis chalev has left the piece of meat. It's been equally distributed throughout this kedera or whatever is in the pot, and therefore even that piece of meat itself choseres lios muteres. Azoy shteit in the mechaber, and that's the mechaber basically applying the principle of efshel l'sokto osur. Now, would efshel l'sokto osur? I'm sorry. What did I just say? I'd say efshel l'sokto muter. Okay. My head is still in a little bit in the Chumash class that I gave before, because my mind is just partially bursting from that class. It was we covered so much. I was very excited. Okay, again, let's get back to Masechta Chumash. So again, Efshel Sokto Mutar, in the case of Chelev, makes 100% sense. It's logical. What was the reason why this piece of meat became awesome to begin with? Because it had a bli of chalev. If I could take out that bli of chalev through a second cooking and have the bli of chalev being mispashi throughout the kedera, then even that piece of meat is muteris because it goes back to its original status. That's called the efshel esokto mut. Fine. But I cannot apply that principle, that logic of efshel esokto mut, to the case of basa machol. Why? Because let's say I take a piece of nevela, and I cook it in, again, I didn't do it deliberately, but it got cooked in a pot of 60 kezesim of heter, of basar shachut. Can I eat the nevela? No, I can never eat the nevela. That's not efshel esokto. Efshel esokto is a discussion that arises when I have something that in and of itself is mutter, but as a blia, through cooking, it was bolea isur. Exactly. What I'm saying is the following. That in Basa B'chol of Wiv is a principle of Hanan, the issue of Efshel Soto is a non-starter. Because for sure it's Efshel Soto Osir. You can remove the Chol of from now, Heint Bismargit. It doesn't make any change because the whole entity is a Chepta Bisura. The basar is also, the cholev is also, the combination thereof is also. That's called chaticha nasis nevela. And therefore, there never was a discussion about efshel esokto with regard to basar v'cholev. That's what I'm submitting to you now. Again, I may change my mind in a few minutes. But right now, you know, pedagogically, you know, based on the fundamentals that we've been building on, the conclusion is that in basar v'cholev, beyond a shadow of a doubt, efshel esokto is also. Because the basar v'cholev together became nevela. Once it became nevela, then everything, every particle is asur, and you can't squeeze anything out of here because it's nevela. It's basically nevela. Oh, where does the issue of efshel esokto come to the fore with regard to chelev, with regard to shari suri? Because there we don't have the principle of chaticha nasis nevela kointer beinu Ephraim. And therefore, what we have here after the first cooking is a piece of meat that in and of itself is mutter, that's carrying. It's a carrier of tam isur in it. It's got the chalev isur in it. If I can get the chalev out, then there's no reason in the world why the meat shouldn't go back to its original state of being heter. Again, you may debate with me whether I can get the tam of the chalev out. You know, that's going to be an issue. Efshel sokto mut, efshel sokto osur. Can we get it out and can we not? With the Rashba and the tour that we started discussing last time. But that's a secondary issue. The primary principle here that everyone agrees to is that if I could only get the chalev out, then the piece of meat would certainly go back to its original state. Because I never changed the status of that piece of meat. It was heter and it continues to be heter. I'm only enjoined, I'm blocked from eating the meat because it has the balua, the bli of Isur, the bli of chalev inside of it. If I can only get rid of that bli of Isur, if I can only squeeze it out successfully, then enochinami, the piece of meat would be mutter. It's only a carrier. If I take those germs out and I remove it, it goes back to its original state of health.
It doesn't continue. It just, you could change it back to being mut.
No, what I meant to say is that in potential it's really mut, meaning if you could isolate the meat itself, just in a conceptual world, then in and of itself it's mutter. It's not gufo shel isur. It's isur bolua. Rabbi say this is a terminology we're going to use from now on, so let's get it straight. There are two types of isurim b'taharovis. There's gufo shel isur and there's isur machmas bolua. The difference is that if I take nevela and I cook it with basar kosher, that nevela is gufo shel isur, and therefore never can become muteris. If on the other hand I take basar kosher and I cook it with chalev and there's no shishim, that basar kosher is not gufo shel isur, but rather yeshbo blias isur. That's what I call the carrier before. And then nafka mina is enormous, because if I take this meat and I cook it in the second kedera, in such a, right? So if it's nevela, which is gufo shel iser, then it always remains osur. Less man de polig, no one blinks about that. But if it's an iser machmas bolua, and now I cook it in the second pot, and the premise is that the bliya goes out, it's yotze achutza, and therefore if there's shishim in the second cooking, that means that bliya that goes out is now distributed amongst everything in the kedera. Then since that meat was never gufo shel isur, it was always, that's what I use the term basar heter, and it's in potential, it was basar heter. Again, I can't eat it because I have a blockage. What's preventing me from eating it is that through eating this meat, I will inevitably, you know, whether you like it or not, you're going to be eating chalev. Because tam ki ikur doraisa, there's a tam chalev inside this meat. Oh, if the meat is heter bifnei atzmo, it's not gufo shel iser. Just the problem is that there's blia. It's like, you know, I can't enter into this room because there's somebody or an animal or whatever it is that's preventing me from entering into the room. Here also, I can't eat this meat because the blia of chalev in the meat is preventing me from enjoying the meat. If it can only be masal like that, I can remove the blia, then enochinami, I can eat that piece of meat. Comes along the Mechaber and Simut Sadi Beis, and he says, that's exactly what happened here. I took a piece of meat, it's got a blia of chalev in it, by virtue of the first cooking, and that piece of meat is asura. Now I take this meat and I throw it into the second kedera. Now you can talk about Efshel Sokta Muta. Why? Because the meat itself was never gufo shel iser. It was only carrying the tam of chalev in it. If now the tam of chalev is presumably spread throughout the entire kedera, it left this piece of meat and impacted on the kedera, but it didn't make a significant impact on the kedera because we had shishu. Then that piece of meat itself, insofar as it was never gufo shel iser, it was always machmas bolua. And the cause that prevented me from enjoying this piece of meat is the blia of chalev. Now I remove the blia of chalev. The blia of chalev is spread throughout. I mean, that's the whole operation of bittul. Bittul means that the blia itself, the tava balua, is nispashe throughout the entire kedera, and therefore when it leaves this chaticha, it's a chaticha atzma choseres lios muteres. Ad kan akofa al. That's the Mechaber in Simon Sadi Beis. Okay, 92.
So a question. If we had a pot with,
let's
say,
speak a drop out.
If we had a pot with many pieces of meat in it,
right,
and kezait of chalev fell into the pot, let's say there were 30%
right,
of meat,
and one kezait of chalev.
One kezait of chalev, let's say 5 pieces.
Right.
Now, when we take, and that piece of chalev dissolved and is absorbed
right
into those, when we take one piece out and that falls into the other pot, do we assume that it absorbs the whole kezait of chalev?
Yes.
We
always go lechumra, right? Maximum of bliya. And that's why the Mechaber says in the second cooking, I'm going to need shishim against the kezais of chalev. Okay, I mean, that's a good point, and we have to really analyze that. Okay, now we fast forward from Sadi Beis to Simon Kuf Vav. And this you'll have on page 2 of your Maror Mekomos, and it's the second major paragraph. Do you see where it says Simon Kuf Vav Sif Aleph? What do we have over there? Chaticha shebola isur. Okay, let's assume chalev. the ein ba shishim levatlo shenafol lekedera. Now it fell into a second kedera. Eina oseres el lefi cheshbon iser sheba. When you're calculating shishim, all you need is shishim against the iser that it was bolea in the first kedera, which let's call it a kezayis of chela. Sheim yesh ba meshe pe kedera. Mitzuraf im hachaticha atzma shishim keneged iser abolua sheba. If you can successfully operate and conclude that there's 60 against the kezayis chelev, mutar mashe pekdera, aval hachaticha atzma asura. Exactly, and now the mechaber is paskening efshel soto. Asur. We have here a stira, a contradiction between the Rajba, between the Mechaber in Siman Tzadi Beis and the Mechaber in Siman Kuvav. Again, Tam Ki Iker is only if the Tam is Balua, but now, presumably, as we saw in Siman Tzadi Beis, the Tam is no longer Balua. We remove the Tam. And it was nispashi throughout the kedera, and that's why the mechaber says in Tzadi Beis hakaticha atzmo choseres lios muteres. All of a sudden, in Kuv Vav, which is let's say 14 simonim later, the mechaber woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and he tells us that the chaticha atzmo is asura, that the shishim in the second kedera is fine to be mati the balance of the kedera, but not to be mati the chaticha itself. And the Beragola here on the side says because the Mechaber was Choserbo, he changed his mind. And the honest truth is, I'm not happy with that. Because if he did change his mind, why did he cross out what he wrote in Siman Tzadi Beis? What are we assuming, that 50 years passed between when he wrote Tzadi Beis and when he wrote Kuf Vav and he forgot what he wrote in Tzadi Beis? That, you got to admit that that's like pushing an elephant into the eye of a needle. No, he's not. This is Shari Suri. Where are you? Are you in Siman coming from Kufov? Kufov, right. This piece here, Tzadi Bey, shouldn't be on your page. I made a mistake. It should be Siv Dalet. Okay? Now, the Be'er HaGola, you should know, it has the following goal in his work. In other words, he authored a work called the Be'er HaGola, the goal of which is to bring sources for the Shulchan Aruch, to tell you where the Shulchan Aruch based himself on, whether it's a Gemara, whether it's a Rambam, whether it's a Shulchan Aruch, whether it's a one of the Rishonim. Where did the Shulchan Aruch get it from? All of a sudden, in a very atypical way, the Be'er HaGola decides to give what I call a shtickle Torah. He becomes a Rosh Yeshiva, and he gives a whole shir klali to try to explain why the Mechaber in Tzadi Beis codifies Efshel Sokto Mutter, and here in Kuv Vav, Efshel Sokto Os. And he bases himself on the Beis Yosef, who's the same author of the Shulchan Aruch. So let's go back to page 1, and before we see the Be'er HaGola, let's just get an idea, an inkling, where he's coming from. What did the Be'er HaGola find in the Beis Yosef? So you recall that the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch Kuf Vav bases himself, you may recall, on the Rashba. And the Rashba says that the reason why Efshel Soto Asur is because Eino Niflat Legamri, which means the following, that even though we assume L'chumra, that all the Blia of the Chelev goes out into the second Tarovis, and therefore we need shishim against the entire kezayis of chelev, but nevertheless we also assume l'chumra that some significant amount of tam chelev remains in the chaticha. Meaning, it's true that the tam that goes out of this chaticha is equally distributed amongst all the chatichos, and therefore, if there's shishim, it's mutter. But it's also true in the halakhic universe, as strange as it sounds, that there's an unusual concentration of tam chelev that's left, that's trapped endlessly, eternally, in this first chaticha. And therefore, we're going to have to go l'chumra in both directions. We're going to have to go l'chumra in terms of requiring shishim in the rest of the kedera against the entire kezayis of chelev. We're also going to go l'chumra and assume that the tam of chelev has not left this chaticha, not entirely left this, and therefore with this very heavy dosage or concentration of tam chelev left in the chaticha itself remains asura. So again, as far as the rest of the kedera is concerned, since there's shishim, we assume bittul. Why? Because even if I grant you that the maximum balua, which was what you were talking about before, the maximum blia of chelev, of a kezayis, left this chaticha and entered into the kedera shel basar, I have shishim against the kezayis chelev, so I'm okay. If on the other hand I have 59 pieces, 59 kizaisin, then you might argue, but wait a minute, maybe there's still a lot of that time left in the original chaticha. No, we can't assume so. We got to go l'chumra, we have to assume the maximum pleita, that all the time balua was yotze achutza and went into this kedera. Okay. But now, we have another chumra, and that is that we assume that even though we needed shishim against the entire kizais chelev, which means that we have to worry about the fact and consider that the entire kezayis chelev left this piece and was poleid into and mispashed into the entire kedera. Nevertheless, we're still going to assume that there's a very serious amount of blia, of tam chelev balua in this meat that didn't go out. I mean, you would have assumed if there's such a significant amount of tam balua that maybe we should require less than shishim to be matir the rest of the kedera. No, we're going to be machmir and assume the entire tam balua left. It was poleid achutza, the whole kezayis worth of chelev, and therefore we're going to cry 60 times the kezayis. At the same time, paradoxically, we're going to have to go l'chumra because perhaps there's an, what do you say? Perhaps it didn't go out. It was ein niflat lagamrei. And therefore, what we have within this chaticha, let's say the chaticha is one zayis, we have a 60th of a kezayis, right? Let's say a 59th, it's the other way around, a 61st, right? A 61 over one of the kezayis chelev, of the tam chelev, that still remains in the piece. Which is very funny because mathematically this doesn't work out. Because if you're assuming that you require shishim in order to be mavatal the tam chelev, it means that the tam chelev was equally nispashet amongst all these pieces of meat, and therefore the tam that was left in this chaticha is not enough to generate an iser. It's not going to be tam. But if on the other hand you're assuming that okay, you know, the maximum blia left, but there's still a very significant blia that left within, I mean that means that you'd be machmer on both sides.
Mathematically it's impossible, but as far as the rabbis are concerned, it's quite
correct. Why? Because we have to go l'chumra in all sides. We have to assume that there's more than shishim's worth of tam left in this chaticha, and we have to at the same time assume that in order to get rid of this tam and the rest of the kedera, we need shishim against this kezayis. I would call it a suffix d'oraita. And Safik Doraita is L'chumra. Now, whether Safik Doraita L'chumra is Doraita Drabanan, that itself is a heck of a controversy. Ayin Shem Shmaita, Shmaita Aleph, Perik Aleph. He has a whole Perik on this, the first of the Shem Shmaita, the first night of after his wedding, you know. But be that as it may, let's assume, like those Rishonim, that Safik Doraita L'chumra is Doraita. The Torah wants you to be careful even in the case of Safik.
Why can't we say we just don't know? Therefore,
that's what the Beis Yosef is saying. That's how he learns the Rashba. That we basically have to apply Safik L'chumra in both directions. L'chumra to assume that the entire Blia left, and L'chumra to assume that not the entire Blia left, but there's a, yeah, call it nothing left or whatever you want, but it's still stuck in the chatich. says the Beis Yosef, Tmiel Emilson, I don't understand what's going on. After he does such a beautiful job in presenting the Rashba, he says Tmiel. Now, if you have the photocopy that from today, meaning, so I underlined. If you have the photocopy that I gave out last week, I don't think it's underlined. But you can very easily find it if you look in the paragraph Beis Yosef, it's the second major paragraph on page 1, and you count from the bottom 10 lines up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, excuse me, 9 lines up. The first word in the line is Acheros, and you move a little bit to the left and you see Utmioli. Says the Rashba, I mean, says the Beis Yosef in attacking the Rashba. I don't get it. If you're indeed worried, you're nervous about the fact that there's Tam, an unusual concentration of Tam, which is more than 1 to 60, left in this original Chatikha, despite the second Bishul, then why not just give it to a Kfela? Do you remember this, Kasha? Why not just give it to a guy? He'll taste it. Again, a Jew can't do it because he's getting involved in something to rice. But a guy can taste it. He's allowed to stuff himself with chalev. Let him eat as much chalev as he wants. I mean, he can't eat Eivah Min HaChai. That would be a different problem. But chalev he can eat. You know, we say in Yiddish, Zay Gezunt. You know, let him eat as much chalev as he wants, and we wish him well. So he can taste it. Let him tell us where this tam left in this chaticha. Why do you build a system based on efshel soto asu that the chaticha itself always remains asura, lest some of the blia, significant that the blia was left behind and never got out of its trap in the original chaticha? Just give it to a kfela and that should solve the principle. That should solve the problem. And therefore, the Beis Yosef now says that he found the answer in a Tshuva Saramban. And the Ramban was asked a question by the Rashba, and he gave an answer to the question. And he says the following. Shema Yesh Lomar, again, if you're counting lines from Tmili, you count down, you drop down about 3 lines, 4 lines. The first word in the line is Sheyiflat Kulo. He says, I'm sorry, the first word in the line is Tam, Veloma Teoser. He says, Veshema Yesh Lomar, the Kevan Shekvar Nesra, please underline these words, Kevan Shekvar Nesra, Afal Pisha Niflat Ksasmi Isur Shabba. So the words you want to underline are the following words. Dekevan shenesra, right? Those 3 words. And then fast forward and underline the words li olam asura. Okay. Now, what I'm going to claim here is that there's a radical difference between what I call the Rashba number 1 and the Rashba number 2. Meaning the Rashba before the Beis Yosef objected and raised the question of Kfela, and the Rashba after the Tmili Milsa with the Shema where he reinterprets the Rashba. And it's based on a conversation, a dialogue between the Ramban, the Rebbe, and the Rashba, the Talmud. Meaning that the Be'er HaGol is right, that the Mechaber changed his mind, but he's not right to say that he changed his mind without correcting himself. He changed his mind, but he corrected himself, meaning he reinterpreted the Rashba. And there's a radically different understanding of the Rashba in the, let's call it Roman number 2, in the post refurbishing of the Rashba, but that doesn't answer our question as to why the Shulchan Aruch reflects in one place his original understanding of the Rashba, and in another place, just 12 simanim down the line, down the pipe, he doesn't reflect the fact that he changed his mind and he has a new interpretation of the Rashba. So again, historically, what I'm saying is the Be'er HaGol is right, that the Beis Yosef himself did change his mind, and he had a new understanding of the Rashba. And in the context of his new understanding of the Rashba, Kfela would not help you one iota, even though the Kfela is yelling and screaming, I did not taste any chalev here in this meat. However, I'm not willing to go that extra step and say, like the Be'er HaGol would have it, that when he codified the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which was written many years after his Beis Yosef, that he forgot to correct what he wrote in Siman Tzadi Beis. Okay, anyway, if I confused you, I apologize.
So the answer is in the Beis Yosef.
Correct. Everything lies in this Beis Yosef. How does the Beis Yosef reinterpret the Rashba? In Roman numeral number 1, what I call Hakafa Aleph, the Beis Yosef understood the Rashba as saying that there's an unusual concentration of Tam that's left in the walls of this Chaticha that received this Tam in the first Kedera, in the first cooking. The Rashba says the Beis Yosef could not possibly have meant that. Because if that be the case, if there's some sort of unusual concentration of tam chelev in the basa, just give it to a kfeila. And get endik amaisa finito, solve the problem. No issues. Oh. Says the Beis Yosef, that's not the final conclusion of the Rashba. Because the Rashba had a discussion with his Rebbe the Ramban, and now he came to the conclusion that kfeila would not help. Why wouldn't kfeila help? Because although the tam of a significant volume, shall we say, of chelev that was balua in this chaticha does in fact leave the kedera, leave the piece of meat, it does exit out, but there's still a little bit of tam left. How much tam is left, we'll call it, for lack of a better term, a mashahu, the most limited miktsas tam that you could think of. But nevertheless, there is some miktsas tam left. The kfeil is not going to taste that tam because it's less than 1 to 60, right? It's a smaller ratio. But nevertheless, we assume it's there. And because it's there, the nevela, the chaticha itself remains asura. And the reason for this is because Kevan Shenesar, since it became Asura, therefore Li'olam Asura, it always remains prohibited. The only way you could be matir this Chaticha is if you would extract even that last Mashahu from that Chaticha. Which is very theoretical, because how are you going to ever determine that last mashu left? But if lo yitzur, again, if we find some universe, some planet in which we can, not the planet below us, but the planet above us, that would somehow facilitate the ability to completely separate and remove the very last vestige of Blias Chelev, then Enechinami would be Muteris. But in lacking that situation, that universe, we're always going to assume that there is some tam left. Now again, that tam is the same exact amount of tam that left this chaticha and was equally distributed in the rest of the kedera. So ask yourself the following question. Let's be consistent. If the same tam is in this chaticha as it is in the other 59 chatichas, why are you being matir the other 59 and yet you refuse to be matir this first chaticha that has the same exact chelev in it as all the other chatichas? If that tam chelev was batel in the kedera vis-a-vis the other 59, why shouldn't it be batel in that original chaticha? Comes along the Rashba and he says, Kevin Shenesra he asura li'olam. A whole new story that has nothing to do with our original understanding of Efshel Sotah Asar. We thought that Efshel Sotah Asar means that the Plata is somehow not uniform. That the Plata means, you know, when you get the Bliya out, is lopsided. What do I mean lopsided? Even though it's equally distributed in the rest of the chatichas in the kedera, but nevertheless there's an unusual concentration of tam chelev that somehow never left this original chaticha. And it's so unusual that it's something that a kfeila could taste if you only gave it to a kfeila, because it's a no same tam kind of tam. It's a tam which comes under the principle of tam ki ikar. It's a tam that has a ratio of 1 to 59. That's what's left in that chaticha. And if we understand the Rashba that way, with the chumras, as we said before, in both directions, then kfeila should be very helpful. We don't find the kfeila is helpful. Efshel Sotah Asar is absolute, unconditional. Why? We must be assuming that basically the tour is right. If you remember the tour said that why should you assume that there's a that the tam is polite, but still it's eino niflat. No, we're going to accept the Torah. The Torah is right. The Rashba never questioned the Torah's premise. The Tam is equally distributed amongst everything, and whatever goes out and is Nivla in each Chaticha, that's the same amount that's left in the original Chaticha. But the original Chaticha comes under a new Halacha, not to be equated with Efshel Esof Toasa that we learned in the first Hakafa, but Hakafa Beis. A new Halacha of Kevan Shenesra is a Dayan Hi Asur. And here, I want to go back to the Be'er HaGola. Remember I told you that the Be'er HaGola, in a very atypical way, decides to give a sheer klali with a chiddush. What does the Be'er HaGola say? So I don't think you have the Be'er HaGola on your page, because that's coming from Bar Ilan, and the Be'er HaGola is not in Bar Ilan. But I have it here in the original. I just have to find it. Just 1 second. Simon Kuf Vav. Wait, just give me 1 second. Says the Be'er HaGola. Hanachon. After he says that the Be'er, that, okay, let's start again. He says, Kan, here in Kuf Vav, Chazar HaMemchaber Mimashe Kosav Liel B'Simon Tzadi Beis. Chazar Bo means he changed his mind. And obviously the Be'er HaGola is not happy with him. So he says, "Va'nochon l'fi anius daiti." Whenever you see l'fi anius daiti, you know someone's about to drop a bomb. You know, chiddush. The mashe kosav liel shechozeres achaticha lios muteres hainu midin Torah. That's as far as the Torah law is concerned. Why? Because the Torah is only interested in tam kikar, and if the tam left through the process of Bishol, from the walls of this Chaticha, and now the Tam HaChelev is equally distributed, we no longer have 159, we have 1 to 60, it's not a significant Tam, and therefore, in our Torah, it's Choseres Lios Moteres. The Torah is right. The Torah is absolutely right. The Tam goes out. And if it goes out, and it reaches the other Chatichas, it doesn't remain behind, it doesn't linger behind, trapped in the first Chaticha. That's as far as Din Torah is concerned. Says the Be'er HaGola back in Siman Tzadi Beis, the Mechaber is presenting the fundamental principles of Tarovis. The Midin Torah Muteres came into Eino B'no Saint Tam. There's no Saint Tam here of the Chalev in that original piece of meat because it went out. But Khan here in Siman Kuvav, Midrabbanan. Here the Rabbanan instituted a brand new Iser. And that Iser is called Efshel Esoto Aser. And it has nothing to do with the Tam. Kfela is not going to help you. The Kfela will swear on a stack of Bibles. Okay, I don't know what. Stack of Korans, whatever it is. That he does not taste any vestige of Chalev here. It doesn't matter. But what? Kevan de Nesra Asura Helio. Vedafkamina Ledina Le'inyan Kamaduchti Ayin Siman Kufyud Sif Aleph. There the Mechaber is going to say that there's a difference between a Do'oraisa and a Drabbanan. So again, let me just summarize, and then Michael, the floor is yours. There's an incredible revolution, a Shtickle Torah here in the Be'er HaGola, in which we have two different understandings of the Rashba. There's Rashba number one and Rashba number two. Rashba number one, he's worried about a Tam Shein and Niflat. And if it's Tam Shein and Niflat, it's Beno Saint Tam, you're dealing with us at least a Sofik Doraisa. But now, the Rashba changes his mind, and he comes to a different conclusion. The Tam is out. Forget about it. But Kevan Shenesra is Achaticha Nish'eres V'Yisura Li'Olam. Whole new pshat. Not because of Tam. Says the Be'er HaGola. On the first level, we're dealing with the Doraisa. On the second level, we're dealing with the Drabbana. Enochinami, the Mechaber is right in Tzadith Beis, and he's right here in Kufa Avav. And there's no Stira. What he presents in Tzadith Beis, where he presents all the fundamental principles of Basa B'Cholav, and yes, he talks about Bishol and Doraisas, and he talks about Chaticha Nasnevela, all that is Doraisa. And on a Doraisa level, the Chaticha Atzma Choseres Lios Muteres. Why? Because it's not Gufa Shalisur. All you have to do is remove the Bliya, and that's what you did. The Bliya was equally distributed throughout the whole thing, is the Torah is going to be matter. You don't know for sure, so give it to a kfeila, he'll calm you down. That's on a deraisa level. Now we're talking in kufvav on a whole different level. We're not dealing with deraisas. We're dealing with an isa drabbana. And Rabbanan created a brand new Issa that once a chaticha is asura, it remains asura liola. Why the Rabbanan did this, the Be'er Gola doesn't give us a clue. I can only begin to use my imagination. You know, the Rabbanan were worried that maybe you'll confuse it with another situation. You remember it was asura, all of a sudden determined. Who knows what conclusions you're going to draw, because not everyone out there is a big scholar in the Talmud Chacham. So therefore, we made a gzera, we assume that anything that's asura remains asura. Okay, Michael, now it's yours.
No, what I was going to say was that really we're back to exactly the same scenario as Bosu B'Cholim, except this is a Durabon. Bosu B'Cholim becomes Chanan, and the whole piece, no matter what you do, it remains a tray or something in the paper. And we've got the same thing here, except that it's a Rabon.
It's kufa shalisa, but I don't have to treat it like Hanan in Bas B'Cholov on a Doraisa level. You know, if I have any issues in Bas B'Cholov, whether I have shish or don't, I'd have to be machmir because Hanan is a Doraisa. But here I could be making. Comes along Rabbi Kivega, and you'll have it here on your page, and he says an unbelievable chiddush, and hopefully we'll be able to fit this in before Mincha. He wants to know the following. This is the middle of your page too. What happens, according to the Mechaber, the Chaticha itself remains Asura. Why? Because of Efshel Sokto Asura. And now this Chaticha is on a plate with two other pieces of meat. The other two pieces of meat are kosher. This piece of meat is treif because of Efshel Sokto Asur. And now I walk away and I forget where it is. We have the following principle. Yavesh be yavesh, two is batel berov. Two substances that are dry and we don't know where they are. Three substances. One is awesome, but we can't find it, can't identify it. It's batel berov. Oh. But we also have a principle that we do not apply. We do not apply the din of batel berov in a case of what's called min b'she'eino mino. Like, let's say, for example, you have a liquid that gets mixed up, it gets cooked in a solid. That solid now has a din of, if it gets mixed up with other pieces of meat, that has a din of min b'sheino mino, right? Why? Because the tam, let's say, came from chelev. And if the tam came from chelev, we're not going to allow you to use bittel, because if you cook this piece of meat accidentally with other pieces of meat, and the tam of the chelev is going to get mixed in, we need shishim. So the Rabbanim made a gzera. They said to this, if it's min bimino and it's yavish biyavish, then we're going to apply bittel, because even in the worst case scenario, it gets cooked together, it's still batel berov. But if on the other hand, it's a case where it's yavish biyavish, but it's a piece of yavish that has in it a blia from an eno mino, then we're afraid that if it gets cooked together, that tam is now going to get mispashed, and you think it's muta because you were matir with rov, but you need shishim. And therefore we're going to suspend the principle of bittul berov. So now, I have this piece of meat that was cooked with chelev, and we said it's always awesome because efshel is sokto awesome. Now the meat, which is yavesh, is mixed with two other pieces of yavesh. What would you say? Can we use bittul or can we not use bittul? We can't use bittul. Why? Because what's bolu in this meat? The chelev. And that's called min b'sheino mino. And therefore, if I would cook it together, the chelev would be nispashed, and we need shishim d'oraisa. Says Rabbi Kivega, it's batel berov. Why? The answer is, I think, according to the Be'er Gola, because the Issa d'Rabbanan means that the tam left. There is no Tam Chalev here. The Tam Chalev is left like the Torah says. And the Rashba Lamaskon accepts the logic of the Torah. El what is a Mashu? So we say that the Rabbanah created a new Iser, and they said that this Basar is awesome. Why? Because since it was once awesome, it had it in its history, it had a blotch on its record because there was a serious Bli of Chalev. Even after you remove the Bli of Chalev, it remains awesome. Says Rabbi Kivayeg, the way I understand it. Again, you'll have to go through it inside. Then now it could be Bat of Arov and Yavish B'Yavish. Why? You're afraid that it's got a Tam Bolua. The answer is Nain. That Tam went out in the previous cooking. It's only an Iser Chadash, if they ask well, of the meat called an Iser Rabbanan of Efshel Sof to Asr, because once it was Asr, remains Asr. Now, if it gets mixed up with other two Chatichas, we'll apply the principle of Bittul V'Rav. Beautiful, Rabbi Kivayeg. So Rabosai, on Thursday, Mirtz Hashem, if you're with me, what I want to study with you is the Prima Gadim on the bottom of page 2. Okay? And that hopefully will